All right, so we are holding the Mishnah on Yudalad Amud Aleph at the bottom. Continuing on the topic that we had, where you can have a person does one action, he's chayav multiple chatayos for it. The Mishnah says, yesh ba bia achat, you can have a person does one bia with a woman, v'chayav aleha vav chatayos, and he ends up having to bring six chatayos for that one bia. And again, this is going to be one of those cases where you have isur halal isur, and that's what we're going to deal with the Gemara exactly what the case is. Case on, what's the scenario? Haba al bitoy. Suppose a man has relations with his daughter. Now, the case can be that how does he come to have this daughter in the first place? Is he had relations with his mother first? So now, and they had a daughter. So now that daughter is both his daughter and his sister. Let's call the guy who did the original Aveira, let's call him Amalek. So Amalek had relations with his mother. They had a daughter. Now that woman is also to him as his daughter and as his sister. Then, well, right, but the point is that so far you have two chatayis. If he were to have relations with a b'shegig, then so far you've got two chatayis. So chayav aleha, I'm going to show it like this. Mishum bitoy, number one, she's his daughter. Number two, v'achoseh, that she's his sister. Number three, eshes achiv. Then you can have also that she's his brother's wife, because you could have, Amalek had a brother from his father's side, not from his mother's side, because if it was for the brother from his mother's side, then he'd be a brother to this woman. And he'd be also to marry her either, tradition wouldn't be choices. But we're talking about Amalek, let's say, has a brother only from his father's side, so he's able to marry this woman. Now, in principle, Tosfos points out on Amud Beis, I mean, when you get down to it, this daughter is herself a mamzeres. So how is somebody else able to marry her? So one possibility could be that the other brother himself is a mamzer, and a mamzer is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Another possibility is, even if not, the fact is, given that the issur of a mamzer is only a lab, it's not an issur kares or an issur misibidishim or an issur misibidishim to marry a mamzer. It's only a lab. Well, you have a mamzer with halashem. So therefore, kedushin artofus, as is the usual rule, the kedushin artofus and b'chayve latin. So now she's in addition also his brother's wife. Then the eshes achiyot. Then she can also be that after he dies, then Amalek's father's brother marries her. No, it doesn't have to be Yibum. No, because let's say he had children.
Or he didn't.
So then, okay, so Chalitza is done, and then fine. So Chalitza is done, but then she can marry anybody. So she can marry Amalek's father's brother. So far you have four. Number five, Ashesish, she's a married woman, either because she's married right now to his uncle, or because, let's say, the Rambam says, let's say, okay, eventually the uncle died or divorced her or whatever, and she married somebody else, so she's an Ashesish. And number six, suppose that also the Nidah. Suppose right now she's a Nidah, and now if Amalek has relations with her, then he's been over on six Isurim, and therefore there are six Chatayis to talk about. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. V'holesle the Reb Meir isur chalal. So the same question, similar question to what we had yesterday. Reb Meir does not hold in general of isur chalal isur, and Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir. Well, that's the thing. So in the previous sugya, we said that there's isur kolal and isur moisif. So therefore, the Gemara. So in the previous Gemara, so the Aruch Haner points out in the previous Gemara, the Gemara started by asking, should we have to say that the mayor holds of isur chalal isur? So now the Gemara knows that over there we established that sometimes he does hold that. So now the Gemara is starting off like, but the mayor doesn't hold isur chalal isur with certain exceptions. What exceptions do you have in this case? And the answer is Nihid Isur Khalal Isur Lakhlay. It is true that Meir doesn't hold as a blanket thing that Isur Khalal Isur. However, Isur Moisif, Isur Khalal Islay. However, as we said before, he does hold that Isur is able to be Khalal another Isur when it's an Isur Moisif or an Isur Khalal. So we said before, we said this morning. So Moisif is where you have a new dimension of Isur in it. And Khalal is where you have other things that otherwise would have been mutter are now included. In this case, other women are also included in the Isser as a result of a new relationship. Now, in this case, in the case of Chela, for example, that we have, let's say, for example, in the case of, yes. So, for example, the fact originally Chela itself is Osir, he being Tomei means that not only the Chela, but the whole animal is also to him. And then it's mutter ba'chela, but when it becomes noiser, it becomes Osir ba'na, etc. Now, here we actually are not going to have an Isser Kolo. So for that reason, Shitta Mekubetzes takes out the word koilo and says the Gemara and the Gemara should be isu bas'ach. You have another case, which most of the Tanoim agree, when you can have isur halal isur, is when you have two isurim that come into existence at the same time. So like, for example, the first two things of our mission, that she's his daughter and his sister, the moment she's born, she's already his daughter and already his sister. So those are two isurim bevasach. They both come at the same moment, and therefore Rav Meir would say that those work. So the case would be, so you have there's three possibilities. There's Isur Koilo, Isur Moisif, and Isur Basach. So before we said Rav Meir would agree about Isur Moisif and Isur Koilo, now we're saying also, according to Shitta Mekubetzes, also when it's Isur Basach. Tosfos, by the way, also brings up, there's another point also, that sometimes you can say that a stronger Isur is able to be Chal on top of a weaker Isur. So like, for example, Tosfos says in this case, where she's a Mamzeret, so okay, as a mamzeres, she's already osur to him because lo yovei mamzer v'kal Hashem, but that's only a lighter isur. That she now becomes his brother's wife, which now is an isur kares. Then that made that a stronger isur, which is able to. Okay, so the case
she is mother's daughter.
Well, so she's his mother's daughter and also his own daughter and his own daughter.
His own daughter.
So that makes him his daughter. That makes her so far his daughter and his sister.
And his brother's wife.
Then she married his brother. Then afterwards she married his uncle. And she's an Eishes Ish, and she's a Nidah. So there you have the six. Right. Okay. So the case is, so like we just said, the case is that Amalek had relations with his mother and gave birth to a daughter. So now you have the Isur of his daughter, the Isur on her to him as a daughter and as a sister both come at the same time, as soon as she's born. Then later on she married his brother. His paternal brother again, because if it was a maternal brother, she wouldn't, then Kiddushin wouldn't be Topus. She wouldn't be able to marry him in a valid way, la'alacha.
Because she would be what?
If the brother of Amalek that we're talking about over here was Amalek's brother from his mother's side, then he'd be a half sister. He'd be a half sister to this woman, and it would be also for him to marry her anyway. So we have to be talking about that he's only from the father's side. So the only potential Isser is Mamzer, and fine, he himself could be a Mamzer, or it could be he was over on the Isser of Mamzer, but fine, that's only allowed. She's a Mamzer, sure. Yeah, because any time, the halacha is any time you have a relationship that's also by Karis or by Mrs. Bastian, and for men to have... No, forget about Eishes Ish. Well, Eishes Ish is one of them. It's not just Kenneth, but yeah. Yes, but the relationship with a mother, as we said at the beginning of the Masechta,
the mother was divorced.
Doesn't matter. If a man is not allowed to have relations with his mother at all, whether she's married to his
mother. But the daughter would be a mamzeret?
The daughter is a mamzeret regardless. Just by the fact that she comes...
Divorced?
Just because she comes from Amalek and his mother... And his mother is his mother, so she's always his mother, right? Okay. So the case is going to boil Imai, Vahovid Bas. So Amalek had relations with his mother and gave birth to a daughter. The Isur Bitiv Achoyse Ba'adi Adavi. So those two Isurim come to Basachas. The Isur Basachas, again, Rav Meir would agree, applies. Nisis Lachiv, then she gets married to Amalek's brother. Nigo, then we have, now we have an Isur Koilo. Nigo di Tosef Isur, or an Isur Moisif, rather. Nigo di Tosef Isur Gabe Achin. Since now she's not only also to, not, she's not, she, she's also to all the other brothers, because now she's their brother's wife. So if Amalek has a bunch of brothers, so one of those brothers married her, but now all the other brothers are also in her also. She was also to them as a mamzeres, but again, that's a lighter issue. Now we're talking about she's also on the more serious grounds of Yisrael Karev. No, but
she needs brother.
No, because again, let's say all these brothers are paternal brothers of his. Let's say forget about maternal brothers of his. Let's say he only has paternal brothers. So then she's not, so what is she to them? She's their niece. A man's allowed to marry his niece. But now that she married one of Amalek's brothers, now she's also to all of them, right? So Migodi, Tosef Isur, the Gabi Achen, once you have an Isur, now that applies also to all the other brothers, the Tosef Isur, the Gabi Day, then that also adds an Isur regarding him as well. Then Nisis Lachiyov, regarding him, in other words, now there's an extra Isur that applies to him, that she's in addition, besides being also to him as his sister and as his daughter, now she's also to him as his brother's wife. And therefore, so you have to three Chatzaris so far. If it's the Shoni, that'll be six. And then Nisis La'achiyoviv. Later on, she marries his uncle, his father's brother. Migo de Tosef Isur La'gabe Shara Chechoviv.
The brother's the brother passes away.
So the brother doesn't matter, passes away, divorces her, doesn't really matter for our purposes.
Right.
The point is that now she marries the father, Amalek's father's brother. So now you have an additional issue that applies to all of his father's brothers. Because again, now their brother's wife. Now there's an extra ister that applies to him also. There's a couple of different gersois actually over here exactly what the additional ister is. Rashi brings another girsa that there's an extra ister regarding the sons of his uncle because now it's their uncle's wife, which is also to them. And Shittim Kobetzis brings yet another girsa that, let's say, for example, his grandfather had other children, that there would now be also to them, whatever. There's a few different ways of understanding what exactly the extra issue is that we're doing now. So far you're up to four. Havala Eshetish, now when she's married, Nigadi Toseph Issu the Gabi Alma, and now she's also to everybody in the world because she's married. Therefore, Toseph Nami the Gabi Day, therefore that adds an additional Issu to him. So far we're up to five. Havala Nida, now when she becomes Nida, Nigadi Toseph Issu the Gabi Baila, now even her own husband is also to have relations with her as long as she's a Nida. So again, that's an Issu Moisif, Toseph Nami the Gabi Day, so therefore that adds an extra dimension of Issu for him as well. So that's how we're up to six.
So what do we want to do from that?
Well, the point is,
he believes that
the mayor holds of Issu Mosif and of Issu Bapak. Okay. Mishnah says, here's another case. Habal Bas Bitoi. Man has relations with his granddaughter, with his daughter's daughter. So again, there can be multiple things that he's chayav for. Chayav alei mishum Bas Bitoi. She can be she's his granddaughter. She can also be the kalosai. She can be his daughter-in-law because his son could have married her.
Wouldn't have the right to marry.
Of course, no. So you have over here. This is why I brought over the Rambam over here so that we can look at the diagram over here and then see if we can figure this out. So the Rambam starts with an example like this. Yaakov has a daughter. Yaakov is married to Zilpa and has a daughter with her named Tigma. Now Lavan. Lavan, who is Yaakov's father-in-law, marries Tibna and has a daughter from her named Sarah. You know what? Let's learn the Mishnah first, and then okay. So again, so you can have that Yaakov, let's say, then had a granddaughter, and then he has one of his sons marry that granddaughter, which fine, she's his niece. Again, an uncle was allowed to marry his niece. And in fact, Tosfos points out over here, in the previous Mishnah, we had to start out where there was necessarily an issur done right at the beginning, where Amalek had relations with his mother to have a daughter, because that was the only way we could construct the scenario. Here we can construct the scenario that at least the beginning stages of what we're dealing with over here were all marriages or relationships that were beheter. Only at the end do we have something that was an issue.
Initially
we start off at least with that we were, but over here now we have that. So he's it's his granddaughter. His son, one of his sons married her, which fine, that's his niece, is allowed to. So far she's also to Yaakov as being his granddaughter and as being his daughter-in-law.
Yaakov being the grandfather of this woman.
So he's chayev if he were to have relations with her. She's his granddaughter. She's also his daughter-in-law because, again, one of his sons married her. The Eshet Achiv, then you could have, she's also his brother's wife. She becomes his brother's wife. So his son dies and his own brother. So let's say the son had children in order that there's no issue of Chalitza or Yibam or whatever. Or let's say she had Chalitza, whatever, doesn't matter. And then Yaakov's brother married her.
So far, all good.
So far, we're all good. Then later on, his brother dies, and his father's brother marries her. So then you have a fourth sister. She can also be his wife's sister. Tosfos actually takes that out from the scenario over here, which is why it's in parenthesis. And the reason is because Tosfos says before we were showing that there's a maximum of six. If we have that in our Mishnah, then we have actually seven things, and then. once we finish the list, we're going to have seven things if we have a chodesh day. So therefore, Tosfos takes it out. And on the other hand, Rashi does have it, and the Aruch HaMer says, okay, because the difference is, once we establish that there can be multiple ones, and it's not a big deal for there to be more, there's no. Okay. In fact, once the Rambam draws out the scenario, we're going to see we end up with eight Yisurim. So afterwards, we'll look at what the Rambam says and then look at the family tree and try to understand it. Okay. The Eshetish, again, she's also a married woman, so that's another. The Nida, and then the sixth, the seventh one would be that she's a Nida. Rabbi Yossi says, furthermore, im over zokin v'nasa, suppose that Yaakov's father also was over and married her, and we'll see what he was over on, we'll see. Then, the great grandfather of this woman, right? If he was over and married her, Chayev Alem from Eshesav, then Yaakov is also going to be Chayev for the fact that she's his father's wife. So that would be a seventh one or an eighth one. And you have a similar case where a person has relations with his daughter, with his wife's daughter, meaning he has a daughter. It's only his daughter. It's a stepdaughter. He's not her biological father, but it's a stepdaughter. Or he has relations with his wife's granddaughter. Same idea. You can draw the scenario where you end up with these six or seven or eight things. So here's how the Rambam draws the scenario. Let's see. So you start off like this. Yaakov is married to Zilpah and has a daughter, Timna. Lavan, who is Yaakov's father-in-law, marries the father-in-law of Yaakov. So he marries Timna.
Father of his wife.
Well, he's not the father of Zilpah, actually. He's the father of a different wife of Yaakov named Rachel. So Lavan is not the biological grandfather of Timna, otherwise he wouldn't be able to marry her.
Right.
So he's so far, so Lavan marries Timna. They have a daughter named Serach. Now let's say Lavan only has the one daughter, Rachel. So now Serach is, on the one hand, she's Yaakov's granddaughter through Timna, because Yaakov's daughter is Timna and his granddaughter is Serach. And then in addition, she's also his wife's sister, because Rachel, his other wife, is the daughter of Lavan. Rachel is one of Yaakov's wives,
right.
And Serach is also her sister, because Lavan is the father of Rachel and the father of Serach through Timna.
Mm-hmm.
So far you have she's his granddaughter and she's his wife's sister. The Rambam obviously has Eshet Ishtoi in our Mishnah. Then later on, let's continue, Serach marries Reuben, who is Yaakov's son. So now she becomes also to all of Yaakov's other children. So now you have an additional Isser to Yaakov. She becomes his daughter-in-law.
Right.
Reuben dies or divorces her.
Right.
She marries a maternal brother of Yaakov, who over here we're calling, let's say, Eliyav. So now she becomes also to Yaakov as Eshet Achiv. She's his brother's wife. Right. Then if he dies or divorces her, and she gets married to Yishmael, who is Yaakov's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So now she has now Yaakov there's an additional Isser that she's his father's brother's wife. And the reason is again because then Isser Moses, because now she's also to all of Yishmael's brothers. If Yishmael dies, and now she's up for, as the Gemara is going to explain, now when Yishmael dies, she's up for Yibum to Yitzchak. The Gemara is going to explain, Yitzchak is not supposed to do Yibum with her, because she's considered, she's a Shnia, she's also the Rabbanon, but suppose that Yitzchak does anyway, then the fact is, Kedushin are Tosfos Doraisa, and the Yibum is Tosfos Doraisa, therefore, now she's also, to Yaakov, she's also his father's wife. And of course, she's married now, so she's an Eshet Ish. So now, if she's a Nida, then he's going to be Chayv Eish Chatzos. Yeah. That's it. So that's how it is. And the point that Rambam makes a point, by the way, in this connection, that with all of these things, it has to be, for example, let's say with this stage over here, with her marrying Yishmael, with Serach marrying Yishmael, and becoming also to all of Yishmael's brothers, it has to be that Yishmael actually has brothers. And the same thing over here with an earlier stage when she marries Reuben. It has to be that Reuben had other brothers. If he didn't, we don't say, well, if he would have had brothers, she would have been also to them. No, you don't have an Isser Moisif over there unless you actually have other people who exist in. Well, right. In other words, for example, at the stage when
her brother is born afterwards. I mean, okay, that's theoretical, but
no. But the point is, it has to be that at the time when she, for example, at the time when she married Reuven and became also to all of Reuven's other brothers, and therefore because of that, she has now an extra dimension of Isser for Yaakov. It has to be that Reuven actually has those other brothers at that time. So the Gemara starts off, Katani Chayev Aleha Mishum Eshesav. We're saying that one of the things he'd be Chayev is if it's his father's wife, meaning so Yaakov's father, Yitzchak, married the Serach. So the question is, Mishar Yalei, how is she mutter to him?
So the Serach is,
remember, she's related to Yaakov in multiple ways. But in particular, the next last thing we said is she was married to Yishmael, who was Yitzchak's brother. Once she's married to Yishmael, how is Yitzchak allowed to marry her? It's his brother's wife. It's also. And tradition wouldn't be Tefus. Amar Rav Yochanan, Kenishin Nafal Olah LeYibum. The case is Yishmael died childless, and therefore Yitzchak is doing Yibum. Okay, so the question is, Yehoki my Ovar. So why is the Mishnah, why does Rav Yochanan say, if he was Ovar and married her? The answer is, Amar Rav Yaakov Sh'ovah Mishnah Kalas B'noi Shmiya. Because she's his son's daughter-in-law, and that's also Drabbanon as a Shnia. Midaraisa, you're not allowed to marry your own daughter. You're not allowed to have relations with your own daughter-in-law. But your granddaughter-in-law, Midaraisa, you'd be allowed to. Midrabbanon, it's one of the Shnias, and you're not allowed to. Kipitanya, as in fact we learn in Abraisa and Yavamas. Kalosoi Erva, a person's own daughter-in-law is an Erva to him. Kalas Benoi Shnia, his son's daughter-in-law, so his granddaughter-in-law is a Shnia. And he have a similar thing as far as his son's daughter and his son's daughter to all generations down, that they're all considered Shmias Dirabon.
They would be
Motzi. Right. The Arayas, you only have there's out of the various Arayas, I think what it is there's four of them that are also the Arayas, no matter how many generations up or down as the case may be, but most of the rest of them are only also in the first generation, and it's only Midrabanan that they're also in subsequent generations. Right. Okay. So the question is, Rabbi Yossi is the one who's saying this, that you have the extra Isser of Eshesav, but the question is, Rabbi Yossi Isser Chalal Isser. Does Rabbi Yossi actually hold that one Isser can be Chal on the other? Yes. We learn in a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Over Avera Shriyash Pashtay Misses, if a person was over an Avera that involves two Misses based in, for example, Rashi gives an example, let's say he had relations with his mother-in-law who was married at the time. So being a married woman, there's chenech. Being his mother-in-law, there's tzrefa. So what do you give him? Do you give him tzrefa or do you give him chenech? No, kamlev d'abamin is when you have misa and tashlumin. So for example, he shoots somebody on Shabbos.
Two misses,
so you have to give him some kind of misa, but the question is which one? So the nidun b'chamura, so the Tanakhama says you give him the stricter misa. So in this case, everybody agrees that tzrefa is stronger than chenech. It's more severe than chenek, therefore you give him strafe. It's a machlokes in Sanhedrin. Is the order skila strafe hereg chenek, or Rav Shimon says it's strafe skila chenek hereg, but whatever, definitely strafe is more stronger than chenek.
In either case.
Yeah. So therefore, so the Tanakhama says you give him the stronger one, so in that case you give him strafe. Rav Yossi, no, nidin bezikar reshonish abal. Rav Yossi says you judge him according to the first isser that came on him. In other words, ein isser chalal isser. B'tanya, ketzad, we learn in a braisa, what does that mean? Obviously, it's chayv misa, but Rav Yossi is saying, therefore, whichever one came first. Namely, ketzad, what's the scenario? Omer Rav Yossi, ketzad, Omer Rav Yossi, nidin bezikar reshona. What does Rav Yossi mean when he says that you go according to the first zika? It means like this, chamoy says nachos eshes ish. If first she was his mother-in-law, and only later she became an eshes ish, so in other words, she was married to his father. She's his wife's mother. She was his wife's mother first. Later on, she died or was divorced, or maybe even she was never married in the first place. She had the baby out of wedlock, whatever. Later on, she got married and became an Eshes Ish. Then, Rabbi Yossi said, Nidin Mishum Chamoisei, then you judge him on the grounds of Chamoisei. And he gets Shefer because she was his mother-in-law before she was an Eshes Ish. Eshes Ish, but not Chamoisei, but if it was the other way around, she married his father-in-law. And later on, they had the girl who became his wife, so she was an Eshes Ish first. Nidin Mishum Eshes Ish, so then Chemske. See, Rabbi Yossi holds Enes Uchalo Isser. However, Amar Rav Abba, Moedir Rav Yossi be Isser Moisif. Rav Yossi will agree when it's an Isser Moisif. Again, when we said over here that when she's his father's wife, that's an Isser Moisif because she's also now to all his father's other brothers. So, in addition to all the other Isserim that we have so far. So therefore, so uh, so 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 uh, yeah. V'chein ki also Ravin Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Moshe Rabbi Yosi be'isur Moshe. So the same thing, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that Rabbi Yechanan said Rabbi Yosi agrees by isur Moshe. My isur Moshe be'ikah. So what exactly is the isur Moshe over here? So like this, be'ikah brala sava. Suppose that the old man, meaning Yitzchak, had another son. So since now, when Yitzchak marries her, she now becomes also to that other son, as that it's his father's wife. Then you have an additional issur that applies to Yaakov now as well. That's the issur Moshe. Again, you have a number of different yersoits and explanations over here.
He believes in
issur Moshe, but not in issur Koyel, or issur Basachas, or whatever. Yeah. There's a few different yersoits and explanations over here that Rambam brings in his first version of Pirush HaMishnayos. That Rambam says that, let's say, you could also have a case over here where, suppose that Yitzchak had a son who was a katan at the time when all this happened, and Yitzchak is the father of Yaakov. So this Yaakov, the one who had relations with Terach inappropriately. But let's say, so the Rambam draws a scenario where, let's say, Yitzchak had a young son who later on became bar mitzvah at the time that she still married to Yitzchak, so therefore the Isurim come on him at the same time, because when he becomes chayiv and mitzvahs at the same time, then these various Isurim apply to him. And then in a later version of the Rambam's Pirush, she takes that out and says that this whole piece over here is not necessarily part of from the Rabbanim Tzvaroi, it's not necessarily a valid right. Part of the Gemara, but you don't really need that. Just the fact that she's married to his father, which gives an additional Isser, which gives an that's an Isser Moisif, that now she's also that's enough in another thing. Mishnah says, Habal Chamoisa. Well, again, because we're talking about the concept of Isser Kolo and Isser Moisif.
And we want to bring Rabbi Yossi's opinion.
Well, we wanted to bring Rabbi Yossi's opinion also, right? Mishnah says, here's another case. Habah Chamoisoi, man has relations with his mother-in-law. Chayev alei mishum Chamoisoi, it's possible for him to be chayev for that she's his mother-in-law. Vikhalosoi, and his daughter-in-law, because suppose later on his son is from a different wife, let's say, I would have to be. So his son from a different wife married his mother and his mother-in-law, which is mutter. Vikhalosoi, so that's Chamoisoi Vikhalosoi. Ve'eshetachiv, she can also later on be married to his brother, the Eshes Achiyoviv, and to his father's brother.
After each one
dies or divorces her. The Achos Ishtoi, and his wife's sister, the Eshes Ishvenida.
So he would be all that.
So he would be all that. The Chen Habal Eim Chaviv Chomiv Val Eim Chamoisoi. The same way, if he has related, the same scenario would be not only if the woman was originally his mother-in-law, but also if it was his father-in-law's mother or his mother-in-law's mother. Where you also have, those are also Erevus Minatorah, and you could draw the same scenario where she was subsequently married to his son and subsequently married to his brother, etc., etc.
Whether the father-in-law's mother.
Whether we're talking about the mother-in-law herself, or whether we're talking about the father-in-law's mother, or the mother-in-law's mother. All of them are also minatari. Rabbi Yechanim and Nuri Yomer, Habo al chamoisei chayev aleihem mishum chamoisei ve'em chamoisei ve'em chamoisei. You could have a case, Rabbi Yechanim and Nuri says, where he can be chayev with the same woman because she's his mother-in-law and his father and his mother-in-law's mother and his father-in-law's mother. What's the scenario? So Rashi describes, let's say, so he's married.
His mother-in-law's father and father.
So one second. So you have a case like this. Suppose you have that. So the Rambam draws a scenario over here where like this. So he's married to three women. He's married to three women where the mother of one of those women is the grandmother of another one. Is the grandmother of the second one.
One of them is
the grandmother of another one, and also is the mother's mother of the one, and the mother's father of another. In other words, so he married a woman. He married her niece. He married a woman, and then he married two. This woman had here. Let's see in the diagram over here. So you have these two are the ones who had the relations. He's married to these three women. One of them is her granddaughter, mm-hmm. from a daughter. Another one is the first one. So let's see over here. The first one is her daughter.
He married her daughter.
Her mother. He, so there was no real. Okay. He married her daughter, Behetar. Fine, she's not related.
Right.
Then later on, he married also a granddaughter of his from a different branch of the family tree. So she is her. She is number two. His number one niece. That's fine. He's allowed to marry her.
Right.
Then later on, he marries number three, who is number two's cousin, because her father and her mother were brother and sister. Yes, yeah, right. So now, so this woman is
also.
So one second. So this woman, the he over here, the one shown in gray, is his mother-in-law, because she's the mother of wife number one. She's the mother of his. She's the mother of his mother-in-law, namely of her,
mm-hmm.
and she's also the mother of his father-in-law, namely she's the mother of him. So now, Rabbi Yechon ben Uri says, suppose he, yes. Yeah, so now, so if he has relations, well, now if he has relations with her, then he's going to be chayav for three times. Mishum Chamoisa, the Aim Chamoisa, the Aim Chomit, because she's his mother-in-law. She's the mother of wife number one. Chamoisa is the mother-in-law.
Yeah,
the Aim Chamoisa, she's also his mother-in-law's mother, the mother-in-law to wife number two. And the Aim Chomit, that she's the wife of his father-in-law to wife number three. Omrulai, the Chachamim said, no, Shlosht and Shem Echad Hain, all of those are considered one name. In other words, one category of Isser, and therefore he's not Chayiv separate Chatzot for them.
Just one,
right?
One.
That's what we'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Poshia, Rabbi Yechon and Menuri, the Sumchus Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Yechon, Menuri, and Sumchus are both saying the same din, that it's possible to be Chayev, even though it's only Shem Echad. It's all under one category of Isser. It's possible, and if the person is only doing one action, it's possible for him to be Chayev multiple Chatois. Rabbi Yechon ben Uri, Hodam Moron. So we said how Rabbi Yechon ben Uri says such a thing is possible, because we have this case of this woman who is his mother-in-law, plus she's his grandmother-in-law in two ways, as we said. And Rabbi Yechon ben Uri is Machayiv in three Chatois, to having relations with her. Sumchus Maihi, where do we see that Sumchus holds of such a concept? It's not. We learn in a Mishnah in Cholin. Now, we learned over there about the concept of Oisiv Es Benoi, that you're not allowed to shech a mother animal and a baby animal on the same day. So, but what happens? Shachta es bas bita. So a person shechted a grandmother. What? He shechted a grandmother animal and a granddaughter animal. So far, no iser.
Right.
But right. Ba'achach shachat es bita. Then he shechted the middle generation, the daughter. So now the question is, an iser. But how many isurim was he over with that one shechita? On the one hand, you have there was a mother, and this is the daughter to the mother, and it's also the mother. He had shechted the mother previously, now he shechted her daughter, that's one. And then you also have, he had shechted this animal's daughter, and now he shechted it. So you have two. So the Tanakhama says he only gets one malchus, because it was only one shechita. So even though he did two isurim at the same time, nevertheless, it's all under one name of Isur, because both Oisav Es Benoi. And therefore, the Tanakhama says he's only chayav one malchus. Sumchus Amim Shum Ramei or Sefik Shmoinim, where Sumchus says that he gets double malchus. One, because this is Shmoinim, 80 malchus, meaning two sets of malchus. One for shechting the daughter of the mother that he shechted previously, and one for shechting the mother of the daughter that he shechted previously.
So you chayav with the mother of the daughter also?
Yeah, you chayav whether you do it in the order, the mother and daughter, or the daughter and the mother. We learned that in Cholim. So therefore, it's a Sumchus is saying, even though it was only one action of Shechita, but because it has two relationships, right, so therefore he was over on the same Issur twice with one Shechita, and therefore double Malchus, which would be the same thing basically as Rabbi Yechon ben Uri is saying over here, that he had relations with this one woman, where there's three Issurim that are all related in the Pasuk, and nevertheless, Amar Rabba, Dilma Lohi, however, Rabba says not necessarily can you say that Sumchus and Rabbi Yechon ben Uri hold exactly the same. Ad kan like Amar Rabbi Yechon ben Uri hacha el mishum shemus mukhlokin. The reason why Rabbi Yechon ben Uri over here would say that he chayes three chatois is because after all each one there's a different name of Issur. The mikaria chamoisa or mikaria em chamoisa or mikaria em chavis, because she's called his mother-in-law and she's also called his mother's mother-in-law.
Yeah.
No, but that point is, no, it's abagaba oisav es benoi, bekulu oisav es benoi mikaria, and there it's all oisav es benoi. There's no distinction in halacha. No, but the point is that Rabbi Yechon ben Uri might argue not necessarily. There's no separate names of Isser. There's no difference. There's no difference of Isser between Oisav Es Benoi or Benoi Ves Oisai. So therefore, it's only right. So therefore, Lois. So maybe Rabbi Yechon ben Uri would not agree with Sumchus. he would say in our case over here, because there are three different named relationships, then you would say that three chatos, but over there it's all one type of named relationship.
And he doesn't believe that there can be different averus with one type of relationship.
Well, he does in our Mishnah, but that's the thing. But in our Mishnah, it's not actually one type of relationship. He would consider it to be three types. That's the point, right. So not necessarily would he agree with some of us. And vice versa. Dilma Adkan like almost Sumchus Elegaba Osebes Benoi. You know why Sumchus would say by Osebes Benoi that he's getting double Malkus? Because the Gufan Mechlokin, because after all, you have two separate animals. When he shechted the grandmother animal and then the granddaughter animal. At that point, those were two separate animals, and therefore, when he shechts the middle generation, there are two animals involved that make it oisav as benoi. Right. Avol hocha de'en gufin mechlokin. But here, after all, he only had relations with one woman. She happens to be related to him in three ways. But the fact is, she's only one woman. Maybe Sumchus would agree with Rabbi Bo in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. But Amar Rabbi Bo, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Why indeed do the Chachamim in our Mishnah say that he's only chai of one chatos, even though this woman is related to him in three ways?
Because
the pasuk says Shara Hainas Bimahi. The pasuk says you're not allowed to have relations with a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her granddaughter, which is where now all the three Isurim over here result from that. Therefore, Hakosu Osam Mekulan Zima Achas. The pasuk by saying Zima He, first it says Shara Hena, they are relatives, but then it says Zima He. It is Zima. It is a Zima means like a thought of Aveda, like a plot to do an Aveda. So it's He, it's a singular Hakosu Osam Mekulan Zima Achas. The pasuk effectively is making all of them one Zima.
That's how it is.
The Chachamim are saying that's what the pasuk is teaching. That's why the word zimahi teaches the word he in particular.
What
teaching
exactly
zimahi literally means it's a plot, that it's an evil plot to do an avera. The Gemara elsewhere, we learned actually at the beginning of the Masechta that we use that word zima for gzeira shava, that teaches us about the concept of bitay manu sasa, and that there's strafa involved. Whatever the point is, that the fact that it says he. It could have said Shara Hina Zima or whatever. The fact that it says he means that even though there are three relationships over here, and normally, as we said, Isser Kolo, Isser Mosif, whatever, here the Pasuk considers it as if it was one, as if it was only one name of Isser, even though it's three different name relationships, and therefore there's only one Chata.
The only Isser is Al-Bunay.
No, so therefore so he's still over on the three Isserim. He was over because she's his mother-in-law and the mother of his mother-in-law and the mother of his father-in-law.
Right.
But nevertheless, as in terms of chatos, it's the same type. It's all included in the one pasuk.
People and he's there at the same time.
Well, if it was different people, he'd definitely be high. We're talking about this one woman.
Right.
But even though his relationship to her is through three different people, nevertheless, the pasuk considers it to be only one, one shame of Isser, and therefore only one chatos. That's the halacha.
That's the halacha.
Okay, so the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, more on this topic of a relationship where there can be multiple chatos.
That's really
Yavamis. Well, Yavamis is more about the cases where you do Yibum or Chalitza. No, here's the place to talk about it in terms of chatos. Okay, Sha'altius Rabbi Gamliel for Rabbi Yeshua, the Iklus Shel Imo'um. I asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua in the marketplace, specifically Iklus usually means a butcher shop, of Imo'um. Imo'um is a city in Eretz Yisrael. They had gone there to buy an animal for the wedding feast of Rabbi Gamliel's son. So Rabbi Gamliel was about to get married. Rabbi Gamliel's son, rather, was about to get married. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, maybe it was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, maybe it was another one of his sons. Yeah, well, sort of Hanina ben Gamliel. Yeah, Rabbi Gamliel had a lot of sons. I don't know. Anyway, one of his sons was getting married, so they needed an animal to shecht for meat for the wedding soda. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua went to Imom to buy an animal there, and Rabbi Akiva That's the name of the place. I don't know.
Imom.
No, that's the name of the place. And in English, it's called Emmaus. So it could be an omission also. It's supposed to be Imaus with a samach, and a shloss are easily confused. Okay, whatever. Anyway, the point is they had gone there for this purpose, and Rabbi Akiva used the opportunity to ask them a question in halacha. What's the point of mentioning what the circumstances were? So Tosfos Yeshanim says it wants to teach us that even though they were very busy, they had an important job to do, nevertheless, they're still involved in Torah. different other achronim talk about different other things that we see from it. We see, for example, that Rabbi Akiva knew they're not going to mind, even though he's asking a very theoretical question in halacha. The question he's going to be asking is not something that comes up practically. It's a theoretical question in halacha involving this whole matter of Issa Koil and Issa Moses, but he knew they wouldn't mind, even though they're busy. Another point is that in the Mishnah, when they ask him when he asks them the question, they say Lo Shamainu. They say we didn't hear from our Rebbeim what the answer was, so they're not embarrassed in public to say that. And the Maharsham brings a very interesting idea. Yeah, the Maharsham brings a very interesting idea on this. He says, we know the famous story of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, one of the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, that after Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai passed away, he moved to a city in Eretz Yisrael that had a lot of it, had hot springs and it had all kinds of other physical pleasures. In the Gemara in Shabbos calls it Diumsis. The Medrash in Kehelas Rabbah, I think, calls it by a name similar to Imol. So the Maharsham wants to say it's the same place. So the point is, in other words, it was a very hedonistic place. It was like, if you think of it in modern terms, it would be like Monte Carlo or Las Vegas or whatever. So the point is, in other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch went there, and eventually he got involved in the pleasures of the place and forgot his Torah. It's a very sad story. Anyway, the point is, the Maharsham says, well, eventually, later on, the Chachamim came and visited him, and they found he had forgotten his whole Torah, and they davened that he should remember it again, but still, you know, anyway, whatever. The point is that the Maharsham says, therefore, the Mishnah is stressing that now they're in the city of Imom, in like this very hazardous place, so therefore they make sure the whole time to be involved in Torah, so that they don't get sucked into it themselves. Anyway, so, Rabbi Akiva asks them a question like this. Habo alachoisei va'alachois oviv va'alachois imoi, mahu chai va'amah. What would be the din if a man had relations with a woman who is his own sister and his father's sister and his mother's sister? We'll see in the Gemara what the exact scenario is. But you have this one woman, like in the previous Mishnah where she's his mother-in-law and his mother and his mother-in-law's mother and his father-in-law's mother. Here, this woman is a sister in three different ways. So if he had relations with her, the Shogig,
She's a sister
and his father's sister and his mother's sister. So we'll see. We'll see in the Gemara what the sin is. Well, we'll see. I mean, we can look at the diagram over here, but we can wait till we learn it in the Gemara, and then we'll look at the diagram and understand. Okay. So, mahu, what would be the din? Rabbi Akiva asked, chayav achas al kulam, would it be chayav one individual chatas for each one? Oh, sorry, would it be one chayav one chatas collectively for the Easter? Oy chayav akol achas ma'achas, or is he chayav individually a chatas for each of these three relationships? Amru loy, said Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua answer him, loy shamaynu, we have not heard from our Rebbeim what the answer was. Aval shamaynu, but we did hear the following halacha, which we feel can be an analogy to it. Habba al hay noshav nidis behelamachad. Suppose a man had relations with his five wives, and as usual, five is just an indefinite number. They had five wives, all of them happened to be nidah, and there was one period of forgetfulness. Shuchai b'akolachas machad. So he would be chayev, we heard from our Rebbe, he's going to be chayev an individual chatas for each one. V'royani, or v'royin onu shad v'ram kalvachomer. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua say, we consider that we should make a kalvachomer and say how much more so than in this case he's going to be chayev individually for each one. Okay. So first of all, the Gemara thought of, hey, Chidami, what's the scenario over here? Ilema kitkatoni, do we mean that it's not all one woman? We mean there's three different women, one who is his sister, one who is his father's sister, one who is his mother's sister, and he has relations with each one of them. If that was the case, Maitzi Boile, then what's Rabbi Akiva asking? Had a Shemus Machlok and had a Gufin Machlok. And obviously, it's different names of Isser. There's a separate Isser in the Torah on a sister and on an aunt. And then,
what's it called on a sister?
On a sister, Trovachoise. Erevas achoyis cholay segale and erevas achoyis avi cholay segale and erevas achoyisim cholay segale. So it's Shemus Machlok, and each one is a different Isser in the Torah. Harei Gufin Machlok, and a separate body, separate people. So of course he's chayav achatas for each one. Now, Ela Hachi Katani. So no, the Mishnah must mean, Rabbi Akiva's question was, Haba al achoyis aviv shehi achoyisimai. He has relations with a woman who is his sister, who is also his father's sister, who is also his mother's sister, which again, we're going to draw out the case soon, yeah, how it comes about. The question is,
his sister, his mother.
So the question is he chayav one chatas collectively for all these surnames, or one individually for each one? Right. So mahu. So the question is, in other words, the underlying question of Rabbi Akiva is mahu. What are we saying here? Mi aminin have a shameless mochlokin. Do we say, well, after all, different names of Laban, because those are three different named Laban in the Torah, or Dilma have a gufin mochlokin? Or maybe not. Maybe we don't go. Maybe we consider it as all one guf after all. Which means, in other words, Rabbi Akiva doesn't know basically whether they agree with the dinim that we learned in the previous Mishnah. We learned that there can be six or seven or eight or what have you, but he's asking, do you agree with that concept?
In the previous one, we learned that
we had where personally, and we were saying even Yisurin Mechlokit, it was all in one person. Yeah, so but he's asking, and Omru Loy Lo Shamayinu. So they say we didn't hear from our Rebbeim about that case. Avol Shamayinu We'll see. Avol Shamayinu Habal Hey Noshav Nidus Vasachas. But we did hear about a case where he had relations with his five women, with his five wives, who were all Nidus, all Vasach, not Vasachas. I mean, it means they were all. That means they were all. Well, no, it means they were different. They were Vapashas. It means they were different people. That's what we're going to discuss soon. Vapashas means there's five wives. No, Vasachas doesn't mean he had relations with all five at one time. It means that they were all Nidus at the same time. They were all Nidus at the same time. He had relations with one after the other. So Shem Echad. So even though it's only one name of Isser, Shechayev or Kalachas Vachas Mishum Nida, he's chayev an individual chatas for each one because she was Nida. The Ra'inu Rashad Barim Kavachoimer. So we consider, say Rem Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, that we have a Kavachoimer over here. Now the Mishnah hadn't spelled out the Kavachoimer. The Gemara is going to spell out the Kavachoimer. Uma Habal, Hey Noshav Nidus, Vasachas, Mabach, when he has relations with his five wives who are all Nidus, where they're all Nidus, Vasachas, meaning the Hela Mechad, Shehi Shem Achas. After all, it's only one name of Isser. The Torah says you're not allowed to have relations with a Nidus. So all of them are subject to that same Isser. Yet, Chayav Akalachas Vachas, he's Chayav individually for each one. Well, wait, that's going to be the answer, but wait. Well, after all, it's three different lavim in the Torah. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that he's chayiv individually for each one, because it's different Yisurim? But the answer is, no, ikol mifras, you can slog that up. Malahei nidus shekin gufin mechlokin. When it's five women who are nidah, you have gufin mechlokin, it's different bodies. So it's not comparable. So what kind of kavachomer? No. Ella, the reason why they say that there should be separate is omakro ervas achoisa gila. The pasuk says that he's guilty because he had relations with his sister. They say those words, they're extra. L'chayev al achoisa shehi achoisav shehi achoisimai. That comes to be l'chayev separately for each one of these yisurim. We learned back all the way back at the beginning of the Masechta that we have when the Pasuk says Ervas Achoyz Chaloyz Agale, it didn't also have to say Ervas Achoyz Gila later on in Parshas Kedoshim, because not adding any new penalty over there. We know already it's Chayav Koris. So therefore, when it says Ervas Achoyz Gila, we have that extra to teach us. The Chachamim say that exactly, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are saying exactly that. That even though this woman is Achoyz, and also there are different Yisurim on her, so even though it's only one woman, nevertheless, Shemus Mechlokin, and therefore separate Chatas.
In one person.
Right. Okay. So what is the scenario? Omer of Adab Abba, Mashkachas Lo Barashia Bar Rashia. The scenario would be, you have, there are two generations of Rishoyim, one after the other. What happened? Shabar al-Imai, you had a man had relations with his mother, Vaholid Dave Bonis, he had with her two daughters, Vachazer of Val Achas Mehen, later on he had relations with one of those daughters, remember that daughter is also his sister, right? Vaholid Ben, then he had a son, now the son is also a Rasha, Ubabno al-Achos Imo, the son has relations with his mother's sister, Shehi Achos, so she's his sister from the father's side, Shehi Achos Aviv, she's also his father's sister, Shehi Achos Imo, So it's a Rosha, the son of a Rosha. So here's the diagram to see it. So you have Yaakov had relations with Sarah, his mother. They had a daughter, they had two daughters, Rachel and Leah. Later on, Yaakov has relations with one of them, Rachel. And they have a son, Shimon, from that. So now Shimon has relations with Leah. On the one hand, she's his sister because Shimon is the son of Yaakov and Leah is the daughter of Yaakov. So she's his sister from the father's side. She's also his mother's sister because Rachel and Leah. And she's also his father's sister because she's the daughter of Sarah, who was Yaakov's mother. So that's the case. Rashiya bar Rashiya. Mind you, I mean, the Aruch on there asks the question, after all, we're talking about Chatois over here. A Chatos, by definition, is Beshogig. Why are we calling him a Rosha, the son of a Rosha? Fine, Yaakov was a Rosha. Yeah, in other words, by definition, it has to be that he didn't know. So the Aruch on there says, okay, but still, since maybe technically you wouldn't call him a Rosha, but since the scenario involved over here, that the whole case is in the Torah, but these are Osir and the Chi of Karis or whatever, so therefore it calls him a Rosha, like in a borrowed sense.
Normally,
you wouldn't call him a Rosha for doing it for Shogeg. Although you could still argue that, you know, the very fact that he came to do such a terrible Avera, even for Shogeg, shows there's something very wrong with him. But anyway, okay.
Still for Shogeg.
Fine, yeah.
If it has been the Macy, then...
Then, of course, he's Chayim Mitzvah. Yeah. Okay. Tanan Abarim. We learn it in a So, Ba'alel, the Chazer of Ba'al. So, that's it. So, we know there. So, that's the case. So, even though it's one person, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel are arguing that first they tried to argue from a Kavach Chayimah, we slugged it up. Then we say that we're learning from the words Erevus Achoy Segila that he's Chayiv individually a separate Chatas for each one.
He asked.
Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, and that's what they told him. He asked them, well, the pashtus, he would agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Turn it up on him. Ba'alel, b'chazer, ba'alel, b'chazer, ba'alel. Suppose that a man had relations multiple times with a woman who is also to him, who is an erva to him, who is all behelamachas. Chayav akalachas v'achas, divir Rabbi Yezer. So Rabbi Yezer is saying he's chayav an individual chasas for each one. The Chachamim say he's only going to be chayev one. He's only going to be chayev one chatas. Because here it's all shem echad, it's all guf echad. Umoidim Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer, Baal, Hey Noshev Nidus, Vasachas. However, the Chachamim will agree if it was five of his wives and they were all Nidus and he had relations with them one after the other. Shu chayev akolachas v'achas. He's going to be chayev individually for each one. Hoyel v'hu garam lahem. The reason is because he causes that each one has to bring her own chata. So when you have five bias and one erva, she's going to bring only one because she's only one person. Therefore, he also only has to bring one. But over here, where each one of these women is going to have to bring a chata of her own, then we're going to put him on the hook to also
what
he caused them to have to do, right? Alma Rava Rav Nachman. However, Rava asked Rav Nachman, "Miyam Yinin Hoyovahu Garam Lahem." Do we actually say that concept that because he caused them to have to do extra, to have to bring extra chatois, therefore he also has to bring an equivalent number of chatois? V'hatanya, we learn in a braita, it's not necessarily so. Hu behelam achas v'hi behei helemus. Suppose he had relations with her five times. He was all behelam achas. He never knew that she's also to him. She knew each time, or not that she knew each time during the action, but she found out in between. She realized in between. So the din is, hu ein chayev al achas. He's only chayev one, because it's behelam achas, but he chayev et hakol achas achas. She's chayev individually for each one. You don't say just because she has to bring five, therefore automatically he has to bring five. So why should we say, that just because each of them has to bring them, therefore he has to ask? Ela Ema, no, you have to say, the reason is, as you said, Hoyova Gufan Machlokin. It's not a matter of how many chatois they have to bring, it's a matter of each of them as a separate person. A separate person triggers a separate chiyuv of chata.
We have to conclude this.
Right, because it has to be. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now we have a question. Rav Eliezer had said that he's chayev individually for each bia, even if it was all behelamach. So, what about, then Chum said that, Iboyelahu, Kotzer v'Kotzer Mali Omer Rabbi Eliezer. What about, suppose we're not talking about Arayas, suppose we're talking about he harvested on Shabbos, which is one of the Malachas, and then he harvested a Kigrigeris, which is the minimum size of Mikhaev, and then he harvested another Kigrigeris, all within one Helim, Mali Omer Rabbi Eliezer. What would Rabbi Eliezer say in that case? Well, do we say Taimed Rabbi Eliezer Hossam, who Mishum Dehu Ovid Tarkin? Would we say that over there Rabbi Eliezer is saying that he's Chayev separately because he did two actions? Therefore, he's saying he's Chayev individually for each action. Well, then Hachi Nami to Ovid Tarkin. Okay, well, he also did two actions, therefore two Chatois. Idilma Taimed Rabbi Eliezer Hossam, maybe the reason why Rabbi Eliezer would say in the case of the five women, in the case where it was separate deists but the same woman, the reason why Rabbi Eliezer would say chayev individually for each one, because you're not able to combine together two bias. Each bias is an action of its own. But it's a separate thing. As opposed to when it comes to harvesting for Gurgaras, conceivably you could do one act of harvesting and harvest two Gurgaras at the same time. So therefore, but if he harvested one gregarious, the size of a dried fig, in one helim, and then he did it again in the same helim, given to Efshalo out of Shte Gregris Basachas, he could have conceivably done it as all one action,
but he didn't.
So maybe therefore any chayv al achas. So maybe he should only chayv one. So what would Rebbe Eliezer say in that case?
He harvested them in two separate times.
He did one at 1 o'clock and the other one at 2 o'clock. He could conceivably have done them both at the same time, right? Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, you should know, Taima, that Rebbe Eliezer hasam shum de Ovid Tarti, that Rebbe Eliezer's reason is the first possibility that we said, because he did two actions, well then, Hakinami, Ovid Tarti. No, they mean in the Bias. He did one Bia and then later on he did another Bia. So the same thing, Hakinami, Ovid Tarti. So the same thing over here, he did two actions, one harvesting and then another harvesting. So yeah, he's going to be chayav too. But Rabbi Yosef says no. Time of the Rabbi Eliezer Hossam, the EF Shalal Avon, Rabbi Yosef takes the second view. The reason why Rabbi Eliezer says over there he's chayav separately is because of necessity it was separate actions. You can't combine them both together. As opposed to Aval EF Shalal Avon, but where it could have been done in one action, Rabbi Eliezer would say, Ain't a chayav al achas, that he's only chayav one.
When it's possible,
that's right. Aisvea Bayalada. Which is not possible. Well, it's one woman we're talking about, but it's still separate beer. Each beer is a separate action. Aisvea Bayalada. Abaya says to Rabba, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Rabbi Eliezer Machayev Avlode Malachas B'makam Ovis. B'makam Ovis Malachas. Rabbi Eliezer would say a person is Chayev separately for Vlad Malacha and for an Av Malacha. Meaning, in other words, Rabbi Eliezer would say that if a person did the Av Malacha and a Tulda of that Malacha in one of the same Malacha in one Helam, Rabbi Eliezer would say it's Chayev two Chatois. Right, so the Chachamim say that not, if he doesn't have and a Tulda together, no. So, but implying, but if he did two separate Ovos, not two separate Ovos, if he did the same Av twice, so for example, you have, let's say, with Ksira, you have this Ksira, and then there's a various Tulda.
Av and Tulda, yes, two.
But if he did the same, but apparently the implication is if he does the same Av twice, then he, no, but nevertheless, the Braisa that says he's Mechayev, and it's Mechayev for an Av and a Tulda implies, but if it was the same Av twice, Potter. The Amat time of the Rabbi Eliezer mission, because Abed Tauti, if you say Rabbi Eliezer's reason is because he did two actions, Amai Potter, why should he be Potter for the second one? So Omer Mar Breid Rabbanon, or Rabbanon, so Mar Breid Rabbanon answers like this, Anov Rab Nechumi Bar Zachariah Targibna. I and Rab Nechumi Bar Zachariah explained what the case in the Braisa is talking about. Hochab Maeskin, and what's the scenario? Bidolis Hamudle Sargabe Te'enu. Suppose you have a vine that was trellised on a fig tree. So the fig tree has figs growing on it. The grapevine, let's say, Rashi says, does not happen to have grapes growing on it at this time.
A grapevine.
You have to remember that a grapevine is very weak, right? If you don't trellis it on something, it'll just spread all over the ground. So we learned in Menachos that does make better quality wine, and therefore the Nesachim came from such. But normally grape growers usually put up a trellis of some kind and then have the grapevine climb up there. But you don't necessarily, if you didn't build the trellis, instead you can use a tree and it'll grab onto the trunk of the tree and start growing that way. So suppose he has it trellised on a fig tree. So the fig tree has figs growing on it.
It doesn't have to be a fig tree.
The point is some kind of tree that has fruit on it. The grapevine right now doesn't have grapes on it. The cut son of Asachas. Now suppose he cut at the same in the same blow in the same action he cut off. No, there's no grapes on the grapevine. He cut off some figs. And a branch of the grapevine. So now you have there was Kotzer and there's a Tulda of Kotzer. Mishum Hachim Mechayev Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is Mechayev. Heard of a Shemus Mechalakin Megufim Mechalakin. Because you have two different names. Because one is Kotzer and one is a Tulda of Kotzer. So one is an Av and one is a Tulda, and it's a Gufim Mechalakin. And it's separate Gufim because one is the grapevine and one is the fig. Yeah. Okay. So that's the case where Rabbi Eliezer is Mechayev, but not necessarily if he were to cut off some of the figs and later on again come back and cut off some more of the figs, not necessarily would he be Mechayev. You're right. Yeah.
Here you would be mechayev twice.
Because it's Shemus Mechlokin, because it's not only two different names, one's an Av, one's a Torah, but they were done at the same time, and it was Guf and Mechlokin, two different trees. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Kavasar Kotzer V'Kotzer Heich Meshkacha for the Mifter. So what is the case then? Where if he harvested and harvested again, that Rebbe Eliezer would agree he's Potter. That would have to be Kavansha Kotzer Shtei Grogris V'Vasacha. That would be if he cut off two Grogris at the same time. For now, it was he didn't do two actions; he only did one action, and it's only one goof. Well, okay, fine. Rashi, actually, you're right. Rashi says goof and b'shem is mochok. No, goof and b'shem is mochok, not like because it all comes from the same tree.
So, well, that's my question.
Yeah, no, it doesn't go. It doesn't matter. It's goof. It goes by the tree.
Means
the same tree. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, avakosa kugugeres, mahaza avakosa kugugeres. But in fact, if you were to pick one gregarious from the tree, and later on come back and pick another one, even though it was the helamachod, nevertheless, then indeed, chayev Rebbe Eliezer would make him chayev two chatzaris for two actions. So that's the thing. So again, Rabba was the one who was saying that any time there were two actions, Rebbe Eliezer is going to be chayev him. So even if it's two actions of the same av, as long as it was one and then later on another one, he would be Messiah. Yeah. Rabbi Yosef would disagree with that. Rabbi Yosef would understand the Braisa more straightforwardly that as long as you could be ma'ar of them, he's only chayev one. As long as you could have done them both in one action, then he'd be chayev only one. Okay. And the halacha is not like Rabbi Yosef anyway, so it's a moot point what he holds actually is in terms of practical halacha, but we still need to know what he holds. Mishnah says, "Oit shah Rabbi Akiva." Since we mentioned what Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua while they were on this trip to buy this animal, then the Mishnah digresses to talk about another question. Rabbi Akiva is asking them. So the Mishnah is going to digress to mention a couple of other questions that Rabbi Akiva asked them. But Oid Shah Rabbi Akiva, also Rabbi Akiva asked them the following question. Nothing to do directly with Dinim of Krisus, but this is another question that he asked them at that same occasion. Abraham will deal with the behemoth. If you have an, we learned about this in Poland, if you have an animal, if you have an Aver that's hanging off an animal, most dangling, so most of it is cut off, but a little bit of it still is attached. Mahu, what is the din? Does it have the din of Aver Minachai, where Aver Minachai is metame like an Aver?
He said, it's not
Ezra Menachai. Well, we said, no, the question, does it have that? He's asking, does it have the trauma of Ezra Menachai? We talked about over there, when is it considered Ezra Menachai? Is it considered Ezra Menachai? We had a whole complicated story about that. Okay, I don't remember, actually, but we'll see in our Gemara. We'll talk about it. Okay. So Abraham will dissolve for Behemah Mahu. What would be the din? Does it have the din of Ezra Menachai? Does it have the din of Ezra Menachai as far as Tumah V'Tahara? No, forget about pregnant. We're talking about plain animals. Just plain animals. No, we had cases involving a pregnant animal, but we also had a case involving, Amrullah le Shamainu. So again, they said, we haven't heard from our Rebbeim what the din is in that case. Abel Shamainu, Abraham the Dallas for Adam Shutar. However, we did hear from our Rebbeim that an Aver that is dangling from a person, then it's still Tar, it's not Metame. And in fact, they tell him, we can give you a practical example. People who had shchin, some kind of leprosy or some kind of disease like that that would cause limbs to fall off, in Yerushalayim before the Churban, before the second Churban, this is what they would do. On Erev Pesach, such people, now they would have limbs that are dangling off and are soon going to fall off. They haven't quite fallen off yet. Now, Rashi explains, they don't want to come into Yom Tov looking miustic, looking disgusting, with a limb that's half hanging off. So therefore, on Erev Pesach, they would go to their local doctor. The doctor would start cutting it off, but not completely, because if he cut it off completely, then when they cut it off, as soon as it detaches from the body, the person touching it is going to become tamei. Then he's not going to be able to bring his carbon taste. But they would cut it off mostly, ad shemaniach b'kesayra, until it's only hanging on by a thread, v'toichvei b'sira. Then what they would do is they would stick this limb, which is almost detached, but not quite yet, in order for it to actually detach from the body, they would stick it onto a peg that was stuck into the wall or into the or the or the ground or something. Yeah, pretty much. The nimshach mimenu, the guy who had the person, the mukashchin, would then pull away, and that severs the last connection over there. Neither of them now is tomei. The person who had that limb is not tomei because it was pulled away, and therefore at the moment when it was pulled away, he's not touching it anymore, so he didn't become tomei from it.
Pushed it away with a stick.
No, again, you have the person has he has let's say a finger that's about to fall off. So they do like this. They cut it mostly off, so it's only hanging on by a thread. Now, the doctor doesn't want to do the last cut because then he's going to become tummy the moment he touches it. So what they did is then at that point, they would have like a peg or a nail or something sticking out of the ground. They'd stick the finger, and then the guy pulls away like this, and then the finger comes off, and that way he's not tummy and the doctor's not tummy. So therefore, so the point is, in other words, that even though the limb was dangling off the person, it wasn't yet metame. That's how the doctor was able to do the operation. The royani, if the doctor had completely cut it off, he'd become tame. Yeah. The royani, or the royanani, the royanani, shadvaram kabachomer. And again, therefore, I'm going to be on Rabbi Yeshua. We can see, therefore, that there's a kabachomer over here, as we'll see in the Gemara, what the kabachomer is. That therefore we say that therefore this Avram Adulzel in the behema should not be considered an Avram Menachai and be metame. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. So let's analyze this. We learn in a Mishnah in Machshirin, Hamoichek as a Krisha. In Machshirin, the Sefer Machshirin talks about the dinim of the Machshu of the Kabbal Tumah. So we mentioned yesterday that you have the various dinim over there about when water is considered taller or should detach from its original source. Lerosan and Machshirin. We learned it yesterday. We talked about it yesterday in our Gemara. And it's mentioned here and there throughout Shas. Anyway, so Hamoichek as a Krisha. If somebody has a leak, the vegetable, a leek, and he has it's full of water, and he smooths it out or squeezes it out to get the water out. Or a person just came out of the bath and his hair is wet, and he squeezes out his hair. Or ksuto, he squeezes out the water that's absorbed in his clothing. The din is mashkesh b'soichay enem b'kiyutan. The water that remains in the leak or in the hair or whatever is not considered to be kiyotan. So if then kiyotan is a din, that's the basic is the source of the din of that if water is placed on food, that it becomes tamei. So like this, in other words, if other food were to touch that leak, which still has water in it, it wouldn't be mukshal lekabel tumah. Because the water that's in the leak, you don't want it to be there. Not so much you didn't want it to be there. It's absorbed into the leak or into the hair or whatever, therefore it doesn't have an identity of its own. But the water that came out of the leak or out of the hair or whatever would have the din of kiyotan, and therefore if that water touches food, then that food is mukshal, well not tummy, but mukshal the kabel tumah. Mukshal the kabel tumah. Okay. However, Shmuel says the leak itself does become mukshal the kabel tumah in the course of you squeezing it out. My time of the shat tishim men of huchshara. Why? Because as the water is going out of the leak, it's machshir the leak, as it's leaving the leak. So whatever water is left in there, fine, is balua. But the water that came out touched the leak in the course of squeezing out. Therefore, it's machshir.
It's machshir because it left the...
Because originally it was in the leak, and now it's being squeezed out. You want it to come out, so it's the rough thing, because you want it to squeeze out the leak to get the extra water out of it. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying. I'm a macha kazakriya, most kazakriya, that you're squeezing it in order to get out the excess water. So you wanted that water to come out. That's the point. In other words, as you're squeezing it out, that every drop of water that comes out of there as you're squeezing it out is touching the outside of the leak. Therefore, it's macha. So the question is, what about our Mishnah? What about the case of our Mishnah of the dangling limbs from the people and what the doctor would do with the last limb? Well, the comparison is, if you're going to say the moment it leaves, the moment it gets detached, then it's Mashir. Then this limb, when the person, it's stuck onto the nail now, the mukashchin is pulling away and letting the limb... Same concept. The moment it gets detached from the person, it should be metame the person. Because for that fraction of a second, it's touching you. The answer is, like Rabbi Yosef says in a different context, that we're talking about where they threw off the water with full force. So therefore, you can't really say it's considered that it touched you at the moment that it's going out. So you threw it off with maximum force. We're going to talk about another case involving squeezing, but wait. The point is, in other words, you can have, in other words, if you do it gradually, then sure, you have the water comes out gradually, and then therefore it's moksha. Or the same thing over here. If you pulled away from those from the limb gradually, then yeah, you have a moment over there where it makes some tummy. Because the moment it gets detached. But if it's b'chol koichei, is doing it with full force, the difference is that then you don't really have a time that you can say that it was considered. There's no negiya b'shach prishin. You can't really say that it touched at a time when he pulled away from it. As opposed to when he squeezed the leak, the water comes out gradually. It has time to come out. The hochanam, you've been telling the whole koichei, the same thing over here. We're talking about where they pulled away from the dangling limb with full force, and therefore they're not tummy.
Because you didn't have time to touch it.
Right. So v'heicha itmar de Rav Yosef. What was the original context that Rav Yosef said this din? Aha, it was in connection with the following din, also regarding the mashal of the Kabbal Tum. A braisa says, zav utmei meis shahoyim ha'alfim, if a zav and a person who was a tummy mess are both walking together, the yodu alein gishomim, and rain falls on them, afo pisha seichtin zeh, Even though they're squeezing, so even though the zav is squeezing his clothes, well, no, they're not necessarily touching each other, but even though there's one is right, so it actually doesn't have to be both. Actually, it's zav or tmeimis, Rashi says. So zav or tmeimis. So the rain fell on their clothing. So even though they're squeezing out their clothes in order that the rain should get out of their clothes. Mitzade oyin, mitzade tachten, and they're causing, therefore, that the water is flowing within the cloth or on the surface of the cloth, whatever, from the top end to the bottom. And to hurt him, that water is not machshel the kabel tuma, she'en mechashvin ela sheyetsu mikulon, because they don't want just some of the water to get out. They want all of the water to get out. They want it to get out completely. They don't want it to go to a different part of the cloth. They want it to go off the cloth completely. Yotsu mikulon, therefore the kabbana counts. But yotzimikulam, but once it drips completely off the cloth, harei machshir, and then it would be machshir. Shein nachshavin alaacha sheyotzimigufam. So, omer of Yosef, and he tells him b'chol koicham. So that's what Yosef says. And the case is, when would we say, now we would say they're machshir the food, the question is why they're not metameh it. It touched a zob or it touched a tmeimes. So here is the answer. Omer of Yosef, and he tells him b'chol koicham, where they throw it off with as much force as possible. So then it can't really be said to have touched them.
That's the food.
Well, you know, so therefore, if these raindrops that fell on their clothing, they're throwing them off with force, squeezing them out with full force, yeah, in order to get it completely off. So then, therefore, so the water is machshir the food that it falls on because it was the rotten and they wanted it to come out. But the fact that it touched their clothes, which are tamei, does not make the water tamei. Right, exactly, because it was b'chol koichem, because they pulled away with maximum from the water, or they threw off the water with maximum force.
Yeah, but after that, if they touch it,
that's a different thing. That's obvious, we're not talking about that. But the same thing over here with the mukhe shchin, because they pull away from the limb with full force, it's not considered that there was any moment when it detached from them and then when they were still touching it, right? Okay. In this connection, by the way, as far as dangling limbs, the Medrash told a story, I think I told it before, about a man named Yosef Koyen. He was also, he had a situation where a leg of his hand had to be amputated.
Right.
He was a Kohen, and his son was also a Kohen. Right. So his son was there during the operation to take care of his father. Just before they finished cutting it off, Yosef tells his son, please leave the room. They're about to cut off the limb. I have no choice. I have to be there. I'm the patient. You are going to become tummy mess from it, because once it's cut off, it's going to be the tummy mess, and you are not allowed to become tummy. Right. So he tells him to leave the room right before that. And then the Medrash praises Yosef HaKohen for it and says, this is an example, it brings a classic Yesh Tzadik over the Tzidka, that you have a Tzadik who's lost, like he's about to lose. The doctor was about to cut it off, because there wasn't Erev Pesach, no problem if the doctor becomes Tomei. But the point is that Yosef still had the presence of mind to tell his son, you have to leave because you can't become Tomei from this.